Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Man.
Some kids have and some kids don't. And some of us are wondering why.
Why, Homer Bailey? Why do you have that contract? It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is 590 The Fan, KFNS. Timothy Michael McCurdy, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Charlie Marlowe with you here. It's the Sildenafil 8 o'clock hour, the same active ingredient in Viagra offering the same results but with massive savings. To learn more, call Goldsmith MediCenter Pharmacy at 314-432-5020 or go online at goldsmithmcp.com. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Thank you. Send your texts in. Cheesesteak at the Post Sports Bar and Grill is the prize for the text of the day. And for the Hot Shots email today, suspension special from Hot Shots. Hot Shots was voted the number one sports bar in St. Louis by readers of the Riverfront Times. Visit one of their 11 St. Louis area locations today. And we will be at Hot Shots a week from Thursday, the Yankee Stadium of Hot Shots, the Hot Shots in Fenton. And that's presented by Bud Select. All of our events presented by Bud Select, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. I'll make it a Sadie Hawkins. Usually I go to Doug with Sadie Hawkins. Charlie, I will let you have the honor, even though I know on one of the topics you have very little interest, and that is Game of Thrones or Kurt Warner / Hall of Fame weekend in Canton.
Man, I just listened to the Kurt Warner speech. Let's do Game of Thrones. I did see a lot of buzz on social media, everybody saying it was one of the best episodes, if not the best they've ever seen.
It really was. And it's so in vogue on social media, or a guy with a blog who has no traction or revenue to take a contrarian stance is a call for attention. But I haven't even seen that this morning on the Twitter tweets. That scene ended. And it was somewhat similar to me to the baptism scene, the cinematography, Jack, of the baptism scene in The Godfather, because we were going to bed last night. Game of Thrones, you know, it's on repeat on all the different HBOs. And I'm like, I kind of feel like they cut to, well, where is your queen? And they cut to it. Seamus, are you coming in for the segment?
Whoa.
Oh, my God, Charlie. Seamus doesn't come into the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.
But now he's engaged.
I know. Well, he's the one that gave me this awful podcast to listen to. God, I hate that podcast.
If you are a nerd for the show like I am, you enjoy it.
I appreciate to an extent the content, but I guess, you know, I don't really deal with people that have those personality traits that often, and I guess that's what nerds are like in 2017, and it's just so socially awkward. Even though it's two people talking, it's still difficult to listen to. The sense of humor is phenomenal. What is it called? Binge mode? Is that what it is on The Ringer?
Correct.
I'm surprised Simmons finds that to work.
They have a lot of inside jokes to where I started,
it's like all these voices. Like,
I started listening to all of them leading up to the new season, so I got all the inside jokes that they had developed over the course of the 60 podcasts that they did in like 6 weeks. But if you just
60
came in,
podcasts in 6 weeks, Charlie.
If you came in late, like after I had suggested it to you, I could see how you might be taken aback.
The content. Maybe I'd read the transcript as opposed to listen to those two people talk. But either way, so this battle scene at the end of last night's Game of Thrones. For the ages, Jack. I mean, for the ages, Jack. And it kind of had a final episode in the show's history, Sopranos feel to it. And by that, I mean, you have a dramatic moment. You're not sure whether a person, and I, at this point, I'm going to give you a 10-second spoiler alert to switch the station if you don't want to hear the discussion. But you're not sure if someone is alive or dead, although I would move all my action in on Jaime Lannister still being alive.
Yeah, you can't kill him like that.
Right, exactly, especially the way that it ended. Who saved him, being debated on the Twitter tweets. TJ Moe was screenshotting to prove that it was Bron who saved him.
LeBron,
that's correct. That's correct. It's a symbolism for the Kyrie relationship right now, and I will give you a hot take on what's going on in Cleveland coming up at 8:30, and you will not want to miss this. But the way it ended, but that I don't even know how long that scene was. I felt like it was like 15 minutes. Maybe I'm wrong. Either way, it was so well done.
I think it was.
And then they roll the credits, and then it's pause, and you're like, oh no, I know it's coming. Roll the credits.
Yeah, and you know they got you.
Yeah, they got me for next Sunday.
It was a pretty epic episode because everybody, the lead story is clearly the battle scene, but it had a lot of interesting moments leading up to that, and the show did a great job of balancing some quieter moments, especially with Arya. I mean, you had Arya returning home for the first time since season one, which is huge. It gets overshadowed by the battle scene. I think I put it up there around, it'd probably be around maybe five or six of the best episodes of the series.
Your power rankings of episodes go.
I think the season finale last year, Winds of Winter, is probably tops for me. Also up there, you have Hard Home when the Night's King surprisingly attacked Jon Snow and the Wildlings. That's got to be up there. The Red Wedding from season three. The
Red Wedding's a classic.
Lannisters send their regards. That has to be up there. Mm. But I think I'd put it right on par with, say, like the Battle of the Bastards from last year.
Battle of the Bastards, a classic. The dogs.
And the one thing the show...
The hounds.
The show does really well is those battle scenes. Almost every battle they do...
It reminded me of Braveheart. That's what that reminded me of last night.
And it's like feature film cinematic type quality. And this is the first time we've seen the dragons in action, but this is the first time we've really seen Dany on a dragon... like selecting targets, really turned, like everything so far this season has been, you know, Team Cersei, advantage Cersei, and in one fell swoop, the whole landscape has really kind of changed.
Yeah, it's last night was phenomenal. I'll probably watch it again. People are texting in good Game of Thrones podcast. You listen to anything else other than that binge mode thing you sent me?
Binge mode is ultra nerdy. So you really got to be into that. And they also discuss a lot of stuff from the books.
I'm into the content. I'm not into the delivery.
Not everybody wants, you know, they're pretty much past the books now, but there is some stuff that you can use to kind of predict what will happen. Can I give a prediction? Because they started dropping.
It's a prediction, Iggy.
You can do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, you are the sea monster. Started, now you're an engaged man.
They started dropping some hints last night. I am shipping, as in relationshipping, John and Danny.
Oh, without a doubt.
That's going to happen.
He was going to bang her last night in the cave myself.
Right.
Well, he has good luck in caves.
Yeah. He's run good in caves. That
when
is
he
true.
Said, come here, I want to show you something, I thought there was maybe a hot spring in there. You know nothing, Jon Snow.
But aren't they related?
She is his aunt, but that has yet to be revealed to the characters, of course, on the show.
So
you got a brother and sister.
I watched the Julianne scene on Saturday where that was the case.
Well, you got a brother and sister banging, so it's not like it's out of the ordinary to have an aunt.
Well, yeah,
but those are the heels for faces to engage in inbreeding. I don't know how hot it'll be.
Previous Targaryen monarchs had sister wives, so it's not out of the realm of normalcy for the Targaryens either.
Huh! Kind of a fun fact.
When you said Cersei, it made me want to watch. So now I'm going to have to, what is this, on Netflix?
I don't know if you can find it on there or not, Kat, but I got the DVDs. I'll loan them to you.
I think Hulu has the HBO shows, I think.
Wait, so this is on HBO? I didn't even know.
Yes.
I have HBO, so I can watch
it. I have a prediction that you're going to see nowhere else. You can go to all the blogs, nobody's going to predict this. But before the last season started, the new season, I had nothing to do. I was out of shows, so HBO did a marathon of Game of Thrones, and I just taped them all and I watched them all in like 2 weeks. There's one episode, remember when I think it's Robert's bastard kid who was making like swords and stuff.
Gendry is his name.
Yeah.
That was the name of his shop.
Haven't seen him since
we last saw him rowing in a boat.
Yeah, we haven't
Davos
seen him since
him from Stannis's prison.
But when he decided to stay and Arya was leaving, and he decided to stay and make weapons for the...
Brothers Without Banners.
Yeah, Brothers Without Banners. They believe in the moon stuff, too. Where she said, but I want you. You're like my brother. And he looked at her and he goes, no, you would be m'lady. I think at the end, he's going to somehow get the throne because he's the last Baratheon, even though he's a bastard. He does have Baratheon blood. And he's going to marry Arya, who will be the queen. That's how it's going to end.
Well, can I drop a potential spoiler? Spoiler
no,
alert?
No, I would not. If it's not something that has already aired, that would be bad ball.
Yeah, that's not a spoiler. That's just
you,
way
you
out.
You can
there,
call into your friends on binge mode.
you won't see that anywhere
else. Podcast going.
Go to New York Times. They do a recap every.
I read Clay Travis's this morning. I know he does his Facebook Lives right after it. So I read that, and Seamaster included it in the links this morning.
I do have one other podcast, or I have a couple other podcasts.
Give it to me, because I would like to listen on Monday morning, but I can't listen to that one.
A basic one is on post-show recaps with Rob Cesternino, who actually used to be on Survivor way back in the day. I mean, there's a lot of other good ones out there as well, but I listen to mainly that one in binge mode. There's another one with a gal named Joanna Robinson that's usually very knowledgeable. I don't remember the name of that one offhand.
Boston Rob?
No, that's a different Rob. Okay. But.
Do you have to, if you like a show, do you have to listen to a podcast?
The show has become a cultural phenomenon that, you know, if you are watching it, you get like a year ago. I wouldn't have been this Game of Thrones thing. I don't get it. I know people are into it. If you like Game of Thrones, because I didn't like it. I'm just like, I will tune out when people start talking Game of Thrones, which I welcome those who don't like it to do and not participate in the discussion. But there is so much. What did this mean? What do you think is going to happen? And there are only a handful of episodes left. So, Iggy, you've been was that the fourth one of the 6-episode season?
Yeah, 4.
So there's only 2 left before they go on hiatus.
Oh, there's 7 this year.
Oh, is there?
Oh, there's 7.
7 episodes this year, and then the last season is 6 episodes. However, they're going to be like feature film length.
Wow.
Like they could be an hour and a half.
Really?
Pushing.
And when do those come out,
Seamaster? I don't know that they've released a timetable on that. I know between seasons 6 and 7 was like a year and 2 months, 3 months. So I wouldn't expect anything sooner than a year.
How come you call them episodes, but when they're things about this show, we call them sodes?
Good point.
Well, I've been on vacation, so I got to get back in the
group. Guys,
right, they're sodes.
Anybody hoping that Khaleesi and Missandei engage in lesbianism? I was really hoping that's going to happen. I don't know what I would do with myself.
Yeah, I know
what I would do with myself. I just don't know how long.
And I'd like to have Tyrion in the background watching.
The Peter Dinklage?
Yes.
Huh.
By the way,
we all have things.
By the way, she rode a dragon there. The Dothraki, I'm guessing, left like 3 days before to try and find them. How the hell did he get there so soon? He's up on the hill telling his brother, run, you idiot. How the hell did you get there? She came on the dragon. How the hell are you there already?
Seamaster?
They are taking some shortcuts with the timeline in that you have Dany's in Dragonstone 1 minute, and then all of a sudden her and a horde of Dothraki are on another continent like 2 scenes later. So they're taking some liberties with travel when in previous seasons Littlefinger took like half the year to get from King's Landing to the Erie.
Lake Erie.
But I'm all for it because these episodes have been really compact. There's no wasted movement.
Yeah.
There's just stuff happening all the time. And Charlie looks really engaged right now.
No, honestly,
he was just saying that he heard that travel is much quicker when you're with a Dothraki.
That's correct.
Yes, and if you're not on United,
that's
according
also
to Kat. No, I'm excited to watch, but my wife and I basically said, look, you have 70 episodes of Game of Thrones, and then this Ozark, there's only 10. So we said, if we get into Ozark, it won't dominate the next 3 months of our lives.
Your play needs to be the Defiant Ones.
Mm-hmm.
That has to happen, and you will understand immediately. Jess will love it. You will love it, is being relatively the same age. And then if you can, I would highly recommend Game of Thrones. We're gonna pivot to Ozark ourselves, and then Ray Donovan, Bunchy Donovan's priest, and Terry Donovan shaking hand, both active texters, had its season debut.
Yeah, I taped that last night. I couldn't watch everything. So,
just for the record, when you say tape, you mean DVR?
DVR.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just
may I say?
I do have a VHS though, but I don't use it.
May I say something? Seamaster, please stay in the room. You know I love Seamaster. I love this
what
guy.
American doesn't?
And he's engaged now.
He is.
Now, look, I say this with love, okay, because I do love you. There's nothing more touristy than coming back from the place you just vacationed
that's,
from.
That's kind of a nice read right
with
now,
a Hard Rock Cafe shirt from the spot you just traveled to. But you know I love you.
I have no counter argument to that. That's absolutely correct.
He doesn't seem to care.
Because here's the thing. That place will always have special value to you because it's
correct.
The place you got engaged. So you're riding your high.
Just trying to extend the feeling.
Absolutely. I get that.
I'm just kidding with you, buddy.
And just say you just got back from vacation. All of your clothes are dirty. That's the only thing you had to wear.
That's another good point.
And thank you for the Blue Mountain coffee you brought me back. That was kind of you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Wow. That's the Plow Iggy Monster. That's the vibe in the room, Charlie, of the Plow Iggy Monster. What's the vibe in the room for your three producers on Midday Grind?
We have Gardner. Just had a birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Chris Gardner.
Very nice.
I hate to say it. He's not going to be on the show today because, and I hope he's okay with me saying, I'll just say he's going to a funeral. So thoughts and prayers. But his birthday was yesterday, and we love Chris Gardner.
He's the best.
He's a good great dude. American.
I guess we're not going to have time to discuss me binge-watching season two of One Day at a Time.
No, that was a big season for Schneider.
You know,
I think Mackenzie Phillips might have been on something during the
shows. Shows are so different now, right? I mean, right, the first one that I can, and I don't get into it as much as I would like to. I don't have the time, but I got into The Sopranos deep. But I just can't imagine myself listening to a podcast detailing the comings and goings of
Sopranos. And comings and comings and goings. Oh, it's super. I mean, there's so many of them. Now, I don't know if they're making money, but I know there are so many of them. Either way, the one the Seamaster sent me. Oh, my God.
I think after last night, though, Arya has become my favorite character.
Really? All right.
She was really cool in last night's episode.
That first season of True Detective, after every episode, I got so into it that all we did, we'd go right to the internet and just look up every blog, every writer. What did that mean? What does it mean for the future of the show? So I get why people are in deep with it.
I got into that. Was great.
And how about?
But I didn't read blogs.
A third season coming. I can't pronounce the actor's name correctly. Is it Mahershala Ali?
One of the best actor.
Yes, from that movie Spotlight, I believe. Yeah. And he will be in season three.
Well, hopefully, it's better than season
Moonlight.
Two.
Moonlight. Excuse me. Yes.
Moonlight.
Is that was like Caddyshack and Caddyshack 2.
Jackie Mason.
Great season. Season 2 sucked.
Yeah, season 2 was a huge disappointment.
But when you have two great actors in the leads like they had in that first season, I mean, just watching them was compelling. And the storyline was great also. And then you change it up, it's a whole different show.
There was more nudity in season 1.
I thought season 2, though, the story became too convoluted. Whereas the greatness of season 1 was it was a buddy cop between two great actors.
Great actors.
And their relationship throughout the season. And then season 2, there were so many more characters that you didn't understand the story, in my opinion. In my humble opinion.
Yeah, Mike. Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Khaleesi.
Hello.
Oh.
What's going on, my friend?
Today's Penny's birthday.
Penny's birthday.
Yeah, she asked me what I can get you. I don't know.
You're not getting her anything?
Not yet. But and I tell her that I'm going to see Carter Wednesday. It's Penny not like that. I'm going to be inside radio show with Carter on this Wednesday.
Very nice. Very nice.
That is nice.
By the way, Mahershala Ali is his name. Mahershala.
No, I can't wait. I'm going to be inside radio show with her.
Well, that sounds like a fun time, my friend.
You know.
So what else is going on?
Nothing, man. I don't want to say Carl about talk about Penny. Carl don't want to hear about it.
Yeah,
she's
I can imagine.
Jealous person too. So Carl.
Now, why don't you go ahead and get Penny a birthday gift? She's always been very nice to you.
Yeah, today her birthday, so.
Yeah, I'd get her a gift.
You know, and so.
I'd say get her a gift card to Tivana, but I think that's going out of business.
Right.
So you know. I can't wait Wednesday. I go radio station.
Inside
radio station with Carter.
Very nice.
Anything for Doug?
Hey, Jackie, where he at?
We got Charlie here, but Doug is listening.
Yeah, let's focus on Doug.
If you have anything for Doug, he is listening.
Mommy, boy, I got small peanut. I can't make levels like.
Pot him down.
I don't know. I could have listened to that, and I wanted to see where it went.
The first time we get to hear the end of that.
Yeah, kind of interesting.
Small peanut.
Kurt Warner going into the Hall of Fame this weekend. I looked forward to his speech. last or two nights ago, and I thought one of the most fascinating parts of the whole speech was, I believe, he only referenced one of his teammates by name the entire time, and the teammate he chose to discuss was Trent Green. Take a listen.
In the ultimate team game, I'm not much for singling guys out because all of you played a special role in my being here. But I would like to recognize one teammate who had a more profound impact on me than any other, Trent Green. You know, our paths crossed in the most incredible of ways, and I acknowledge you could easily be the one standing up here tonight. But the class that you showed while dealing with the toughest of situations is etched in my mind. Your willingness to share your football secrets so I could succeed was incredibly valuable. But the character you displayed and the way you modeled the definition of teammate was priceless. Those lessons followed me the rest of my career. Thanks for sharpening my character with your own.
Nice.
How about that? That was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best.
He really is.
He is.
He really, really is. And then last night, he's flying back. I gather they live in Arizona. I don't know if you know that, Charlie, if they live.
I believe they do.
Live in Arizona. And he decided to do like a Q&A with fans while I was flying back from, you know, I imagine Cleveland to the Phoenix area. And that was super cool. He had a good discussion going on back and forth. Did you like the bust of him? Anna Marie goes, I don't think that really looks like him. I go, I think it does in the eyes, but then the rest of the face. Sometimes it's tough with those Hall of Fame busts. Jason Taylor's, I felt like, was a replica of Jason Taylor. Plowhawk, you had a hot take saying this was the Hall of Very Good this weekend.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I thought Warner was a lock. I thought LT, he's a tweener.
LT's numbers, though, I actually was looking up his numbers while I'm watching because that thing took 4 hours or 5 hours. And his numbers in terms of overall yardage and touchdowns for the amount of years, it's like he averaged 15 touchdowns a year and something like 1,600 yards.
I didn't know he was even up for debate. I thought that was a lock that he's so a Hall of Famer.
I thought Terrell Davis had a shorter lifespan in the NFL. I thought he had that 2,000-yard season. He had a couple of great years, had, I think, one or two Super Bowls. I thought he was a tweener. But when you think about pass rusher, I just don't think of Jason Taylor. I think his numbers stack up. But when you're talking about Bruce Smith, Reggie White, yeah, I just don't see it.
I agree with you on Jason Taylor. At the same time, I feel a little bit differently regards to my comfort level on pontificating regarding Hall of Fame worthiness when it comes to the NFL versus baseball. In other words, I feel more comfortable with my opinion on baseball than I do on football. But Jason Taylor, to me, doesn't strike me as a Hall of Famer, but maybe I was just missing out on the fun and games going on in the AFC East. I have no idea. Kenny Easley is kind of before almost all of our times. But I know that there's a debate as to whether or not it's him and Ronnie Lott. It's the best safety of all time. Jerry Jones led the way to get the Rams to Los Angeles, and as part of the deal, I would imagine they said, yeah, you can take care of that. We'll get you into Canton. So good to see that was consummated on Saturday night. And am I missing anybody else?
I think Morton Anderson.
Morton Anderson.
I thought he was deserving as well. It's hard to get a kicker in there, but.
Morton Anderson. Yeah, I mean, growing up and watching football, I knew that guy was like the guy.
Much as I loved Kurt Warner and still do, I just couldn't bring myself to care about that. I'm just done with the NFL. I watch Super Bowls, I guess, maybe a playoff game, but I'm still mad, still hurt.
How about this? LT, 11 seasons, 145 rushing touchdowns, 17 receiving touchdowns, almost 14,000 rushing yards, almost 5,000 receiving yards. So if you break it down just per 11 seasons, he's ridiculously productive. But the speeches, way too long. Not even just a little long. We're talking they went 2 hours over the TV allotment of time.
Yeah, I saw a column yesterday written by Clark Judge talking about they've got to do something about it. I don't know how you pragmatically legislate that. Now, Easley said the prompter went down. So I don't know if that was one of the ways they were trying to manage it. Like they just turned the prompter off, although then you risk or do embarrass somebody, especially, I mean, you know, not everybody's, you know, able to ad lib on the fly in front of however many people are there, 20,000 people. I don't know. One side of me is this is the moment for these six or seven people, the moment, and, you know, let them go. And then on the other side of it, it does go so long that if the NFL, which they did, wanted to, quote, save the best for last, which would be as unpopular as it might be here, Jerry Jones and then Kurt Warner, by the time they're up there, you know, a good portion of the country is in bed. And you also see kind of the crowds, relatively speaking, sparse, and the Hall of Famers are like, you know, F this, we want to get out of here. So I don't know what, but then if you do it the other way around, Morton Anderson would have been talking to six people in his family. So I don't know what the real way to try and make that work is.
You can't. I mean, think about it. If you say, well, we need to see your speech submitted ahead of time, so at least we can get a handle on how long it's going to be. Look, it can't be more than 20 minutes or whatever time limit you put on it. And then a guy goes off script. What, are you going to shut him down? Or if someone never turns in that script?
Play him off like the Oscars.
Yeah, I don't.
Start playing the Fox football music. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Or you don't show it live. You tape it, and then the NFL Network says, go as long as you want live, but we're going to edit out what we want to fit into our broadcast when we run it tomorrow and just cut it down that way.
Yeah, because I thought Jerry Jones was the last speech because I didn't have the rundown. When I turned it on, it seemed to be only about 15 minutes left in the allotted time on the TV, so I assumed he was in and wrapping it up. So I missed Kurt Warner live just because I thought he already went previous to that. So it was.
I do think something happened. I don't know if it was with the prompter. I didn't watch every speech. I watched a little bit of Terrell Davis's. I thought he was very funny. His kids were making faces. LT got a little political there. Jerry Jones went too long. Kurt Warner, right at the beginning, you can tell he kind of stumbled and then looked down at his papers. So maybe something did happen with the prompter at some point there. It was also kind of odd to me. He didn't really mention Arizona that much at all, but I think Kurt probably figured, look, everybody knows his NFL story. He clearly focused more on his high school coaches, arena football, and NFL Europe. So that stuff was, especially if you're not from St. Louis or Arizona, the national football audience probably doesn't know as much about that part of his career as opposed to when he was really good for the Cardinals and Rams. I think his speech was 32 minutes. Jerry Jones's was like 37. That's a long time to talk.
You ever give a speech?
I have.
How long?
Man, I don't think I've given a speech more than 5 minutes. I mean, I took speech class in college.
I did stand up for about 25 minutes one time.
25 minutes set,
that's
Jack.
A long time.
25 minutes set, Jack.
And it took, honestly, 6 months to come up with stuff to say.
What was your ending joke?
I don't remember, so long ago.
What was your best joke?
I couldn't.
You said, I just got off a plane. Do you guys fly much? United?
Airline food. How about that?
Yeah.
How about that whole deal?
Do you guys wear shoes? I got a shoe joke.
What's the deal with the labels they put on mattresses?
Mm-hmm.
I think my Hall of Fame speech was 11 minutes.
The Brentwood Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
B-Wood.
Of course, we only had like 20 people in the audience, so.
Who did you thank?
I don't think I thanked anybody.
City of Warmth.
Did it on my own. No, I thanked some of my teachers at Brentwood High School. When I really don't remember them. I had to go back to the yearbook and just pick out a few and mention them.
And what did you get? Did you get a ring or something?
I got a medallion that you can wear. It's really heavy. Almost look like a gold medal.
You ever wear it around the apartment just to kind of remind yourself that you made it?
No, it's hanging on a wall.
You haven't framed it?
No.
You could do one of those little shadow box things inside a frame.
Shadow boxer, yeah. Fiona Apple. 96? 96? I think 96.
I've been a bad, bad girl.
Video for Criminal. Oh, my word. She looks like Chasey Lane in that
video. She does have that kind of hot alternative.
And you just know. Let me tell you something. I won't bring you into this, and I won't bring the cat into this. I'm just going to talk to the audience right now because I know they can feel me.
A little nasty.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
A little nasty.
Yeah. And I like that you use that lisp like your Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream. Little nasty.
Yeah, it just shows how different we are. Because when you talk about beautiful women, you talk about Marky Post. Mm-hmm. You know that you just take her
feathered
to a nice
female
dinner.
Mullet. You didn't see a lot of it.
And a cowl neck sweater.
Right.
And you take her to a nice dinner, say, at Olive Garden, and you have a lovely evening.
See, I've heard of the name Marky Post, and when I see her picture, I'm going to remember who she is. But most of Kat's references, I do have to Google.
Guys, Iggy hangs the medal next to the rotting hooker corpses in his basement. Thanks. It's from Butch Patrick's werewolf doll.
Don't have a basement.
Iggy, give that medallion to its rightful owner, Coach Gary Kornfeld. That's from KG in O-Town.
He'll get his next year. Well deserving, Gary.
Coach K, big fan of the Midday Grind, I have to say, because he texts in to us on our phones a lot.
He does that here, too. He does that here, too.
I'm just saying, I think he probably likes our show a little better, but it doesn't always have to be a competition.
Now we do. I think Martin is still the same state-of-the-art broadcaster. I just think his cast, his surrounding cast, isn't as good.
That's fair.
Wow. Wow.
Marky Post.
Wow. Guys, there's a new movie with Kate Upton. Should be an Academy Award winner. It's called The Layover. Best friends Kate and Meg find themselves competing for the same man while waiting for their plane to take off from St. Louis. Thanks, MJ the coach.
Wow.
That Kate Upton. Justin Verlander, well done.
Better than Marky Post?
Yeah, flip.
I would say just Queens. For now. Now back in her heyday, Marky Post? That's a different conversation.
Guys, Iggy's speech included his time as a Navy SEAL and how Nancy Reagan tried to get him fired. Thanks. That's from Matt who bowls at Hanks. That happens. Matt who bowls at Hanks, a legend. That's what happens. Matt who bowls at Hanks.
Tim.
Charlie.
Speaking of kind of older actors,
mm-hmm.
and I won't give away a spoiler, but you're watching that show Ozark, and you see the actor, I believe it's pronounced Asai Morales. Better
La Bamba.
Known as
La Bamba.
Bob from La Bamba.
He was a cartoonist.
He was great in that. He just wanted his own thing.
Richie!
Yes.
You know what my favorite line from that was? Because my older brother Sam and I.
Some stars fall from the sky.
But it was Bob's line. If you remember, they're talking on the phone to each other. And I think Richie wants to come back for Christmas or something like that. But they're kind of fighting. And Richie can't hear. And he says to Bob,
Babo,
right. He says, are you still there? And I believe it's Bob, maybe it's Richie, but one of them says, I'm still here and I'm still your brother. Mm. And Sam Marlowe and I used to say that to each other all the time after watching La Bamba.
It's interesting.
God.
I think the most memorable line from that clearly is he said, I won it in a contest when he had that little drafting table.
He did. He was a cartoonist.
He said, I won it in a contest and I go, you know what? I'm gonna say that to my brother.
It's coming to me now. He said, we got Woody Woodpecker and Buzz Buzzer.
I think this is offensive right now.
No, it's not. That's how he spoke in the film.
I still think it's offensive, but I'm going to check on it. We'll check with Thompson Coburn. Guys, Ozark was written by a Fred, St. Charles resident. Thanks. That's from Fred Dreyer's Mushroom Mart.
I read that.
I feel like I got to watch Ozark now. I got to watch
it. You're going to love it.
That's my next play. That's my
you're
next
gonna
play.
You're going to love it. I don't know how you
who's the
like
lead
it.
Female?
What's her name? Lily? Jennifer Lilly, is it?
Lily.
Not Jennifer,
Jennifer
Tilly.
Jennifer Tilly, who was in a scene with Gina Gershon and Bound.
Yeah,
Lily
what's her
Tomlin.
Name? No.
Laura Linney?
Laura Linney, I'm sorry.
Laura Linney, really?
Laura Linney.
Who's she?
She's been in movies,
right?
She was in The Big C on HBO. That was probably her last big thing. Mm. You would know her if you saw her.
Kind of nondescript.
Yeah, she plays the same whiny character and everything.
Plenty of violence in this thing?
Violence. It's kind of a Breaking Bad-esque type narrative with a guy who's your normal guy, kind of gets wound up with some criminal element and then has to work around that.
And let's just say for our audience, there's a lot of gay affairs. I'm not going to say lesbian or not.
It does kind of remind me a little bit of House of Cards. It seems like everybody has this gay element to them in House of Cards.
Not Robin Wright Penn, unfortunately. I'm still waiting for that. God almighty. We need somehow Robin Wright Penn and Khaleesi to get in the same scene. And I don't know if that can happen, but if they can, that'd be a real treat.
Laura Linney was brilliant in the movie Primal Fear, which I thought was a great movie.
Richard Gere.
Right? And she was one of the attorneys in it. She was brilliant. So now that's another reason that I would want to see this.
And Jason Bateman is very good.
Want to know who's hot? I'll tell you. Gal Gadot.
Okay.
She's Wonder Woman? Am I correct on this?
Oh, yeah.
She was from Fast and the Furious. Yeah, yes.
She did that for hardly any money whatsoever.
Fine.
She's very attractive.
Wonder Woman's unbelievable. One of my favorite superhero movies that's out. It's unreal.
Better than Linda Carter?
Huh?
Linda Carter.
That was the original Wonder Woman. Way back.
Back in the day.
Before you were born.
Right. But a beautiful woman. Don't you think?
Yes.
Linda Carter, yeah.
Josie Whale, was it Bobby?
Bobo, that's
the outlaw Josie Wales.
No, I'm trying to think what movie she got naked in, her first movie. Yeah, I'll have to look it up.
Linda Carter
skin.
Did? Yeah, she got nakers?
She did.
Probably shrubs galore, I would guess.
Yeah, 70s bush.
Right.
I left this out.
Yeah, Charlie.
Another great line from La Bamba. He gets up there. Richie does. He's about ready to play.
This is a song about a rattlesnake.
Little bit of a rattlesnake.
Oh, man,
come
on. I was going to say it.
I wanted to make sure we were on the same page.
He'd say, here's a little bit of a rattlesnake.
Now, what does that mean? Pull that up, Plowhawk. What does that mean?
It's clear to me, once you hear the song, it'll get you.
Really?
This song
because,
will get you.
No,
is that
because,
what that means?
No, he and Bobo. They went to the, I believe it was a whorehouse in Tijuana. I think Richie didn't want the girl. Bob did. They end up, remember, out with the Native American guy, and he skins a rattlesnake and makes that necklace for him. Hence, here's a bit of a rattlesnake.
Los Lobos, the Woo.
Yeah, you
Lobos.
Do it better, though.
Yeah, I guess I am really talented.
You sound like someone's aunt singing it.
Take a listen.
Here he is, America's newest rock and roll Ed sensation, the California Kid, Richie Valens.
So good.
Best picture, 87?
So good. Should have been.
Right.
Got robbed.
Thank you.
By another movie. Don't know which one. Say it.
Here's a bit of a rattlesnake.
Oh, is that the sickest moment
chills.
Ever?
I just got chills.
Is that the sickest moment ever?
I think Ed Harris would have been a better Richie Valens.
I think Los Lonely Boys does it better.
They do a...
They do this version. I think they did the.
Are
Latin.
They sideways with Los Lobos?
No, they did the Latin Grammys about 6-7 years ago with Carlos Santana.
Look at that.
Then, of course, his other hit, Donna.
Who knows how many more hits he would have
had
if he wasn't taken tragically.
Big Bopper, Donna Buddy Holly, the day the music died.
Wow.
And he always had a fear of flying. He always had a fear of flying.
Never been the same.
Kat, this is going to be of interest to you and maybe some in the audience. Jason Barrett does a podcast. Do you subscribe?
Of course I do.
Right.
I mean, I don't do that. Yes, I do.
And I think he's done three. Is that right, Charlie? He's done three so far?
Three or four. Yeah, probably.
His third podcast guest was my former co-host on The Morning Grind, and a part of this show's history.
Martin Kilkland.
Nope, I don't think Martin would appear, if I had to guess. I don't think Martin would accept the invite. Bob Fesco. And this is, it doesn't detail the bathroom and like the fixtures you got,
mm-hmm.
but it does talk about the whole situation. And Seamaster, I think Iggy sent it last week, and then Seamaster sent it this weekend. And I can tell when the producers of the show really want me to get into something. But then I fight it off, and I'm like, you know what? I'm driving around yesterday, driving to Bye Bye Baby. See the cat? That's how it's already going.
And you're
going to
love it. Good day, hon.
So it was just me, Han Solo, man. And I'm like, let me see if I can find some podcasts here. And I'm like, oh, you know, Iggy sent me this, and then Seamaster asked me if I wanted to play anything. I'll listen to it, but I'm not looking to, like, you know, I know what happened. I'm 100% confident with what my memory is of what happened. But I'll hear what Bob has to say. I personally have zero ill will against Bob Fesco. The whole situation was effed up. It's just like, you know, like Bernie Miklas obviously has a following, but if Bernie Miklas and I were to do a show, it wouldn't work, you know.
Yeah, you never know.
He does what he does, and we do what we do, and, you know, it just, you know, one guy runs the option, one guy runs the Mike Martz style offense. You know, you can get in the end zone with both, but it's two different styles. So anyway, here is Jason Barrett, who was the program director at the time with Bob Fesco, discussing the Morning Grind, which is our program on a podcast. I guess we're now at the point where now people discuss our show on podcasts outside of Buck Swope. So let's take a listen, Plowhawk.
Martin Kilcoyne decides he's going to leave.
Pause it right there, because I got it, because there's probably going to be some... There was more to it than that. The cat was in the conference room. Another gentleman was in the conference room. He had been hired to replace Producer Joe after Producer Joe told the GM to go F himself. And I believe that falls under the umbrella of insubordination. But that depends on your lawyer.
Yachty kind of did that. Not to the GM, but...
And so it wasn't as simple as Martin decided to leave.
He made Martin want to leave.
Right. Go ahead, Plowhawk.
Martin Kilcoyne decides he's going to leave. We go through a few auditions. That leads me to conversations with you.
Pause it. You're right, because I got to... One of the auditions was with Doug Vaughn. With all due respect, I think it might have worked out. Now, that's based on seeing what happened over the last 10 years, so it might not be fair because it's a small sample size.
And you and I both zeroed in on Doug before he ever auditioned, saying this is the guy that'll make it work.
Right, but we were never consulted as to who we thought would work, and then everything began to happen. Plowhawk, if you would go ahead.
Well, one of the auditions wasn't Bob Fesco.
Bob, I didn't meet Bob until after he was hired.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Plowhawk.
Board. And the plan at that time is Bob Fesco, Tim McKernan, and Jim Hayes. And when I approached you and we started talking about that possibility and you start contemplating leaving Kansas City for St. Louis, what were your initial reservations and thoughts?
I don't know that I had any reservations because I was still very young and naive, and I looked at St. Louis as a stepping stone to then Chicago, then to New York. I was, again, very naive in that process of having reservations. I was very confident in myself as well. Like, what do I need reservations for? I know I'm good at what I do. I've had good career success so far. Well, I'll be fine. Let's do this. I was excited about it. And again, excited to go work with you because of the interest that you showed in me that I'd never received from anybody else.
I remember at that time, I'm preparing to talk to Tim and Jim. I know it's going to be a tough conversation, but I'm feeling confident that, you know what, these guys have been through a tough process. I think they'll at least be open in the beginning to giving you a shot. And if you earn your keep, this will work out great. Unfortunately, everything goes to hell in a handbasket. The company's losing money. They call me in. They go, hey, we're going to cut Jim. I'm protesting left and right going, this is going to be impossible. Bob and Tim have no shot together. This is dead before we even get in the room, which obviously, look, if you were in Tim's shoes, there's immediate tension. You feel you got screwed by the company, and he was. So it's tough for him. It's tough for you. You're moving to a new market. Impossible for you to have any shot of succeeding there when the team you're working with aren't pulling in your direction. And, you know, obviously with what they've already went through, you just happen to be the guy in the wrong place at the wrong time. So this becomes your first introduction to the ugly side of the business. What do you remember about the first few weeks and months getting started and what that was like?
It was not fun, and I tried to fake my way through telling everybody everything was going to be okay and everything was fine and I'm having a great time and everything's great because that's the way I really wanted it to be. And like you said, I left a nice job in Kansas City and took this one in St. Louis for the hopes of not necessarily working with Tim or whoever. It was the opportunity again to have the opportunity to work with you, who I thought could set me on my way on a great career trajectory because of every place that you had been and the knowledge that you had. It never got off on the right foot, as you know, there in St. Louis. And I always look back and go, what could I have done differently? Could I have done anything differently? But I think ultimately at the time, it was just a situation that one person just didn't want to make work, and I can understand that.
The two things there. For the audience's sake, it was good that Jason publicly, because before I kind of felt like he told me it in private, and I didn't want to violate a conversation that was private, that it was his intent to keep you as a part of the show. And because, as he acknowledged, so I can now cite him as opposed to violate the omerta, because that company was losing money, they came in and told him he had to cut you. And so that is how it wound up going from me and you and Bob to me and Bob. And in the same conversation, I'm finding out that our new co-host is Bob Fesco. I'm also told that you are being let go. And I, in that moment, I've told the story before. I, for whatever reason, it's kind of weird, I pictured a tombstone and I thought, this is it. This is the end of this group right here. And they don't know it, clearly, but they just destroyed their station and they're going to lose even more money. Because you don't mess with this show. So the other thing, though, that stands out to me, so I'm glad that's on the record now, that that's what wound up happening.
And that's what he had told me before, and we've kind of...
Right, and I truly, for as much as we make fun of his column and the podcast and all that stuff, it's not done with malice. It truly isn't. I get along with him, and he's the reason why CMAR is here. So that stuff truly is in the past. Regarding what Bob said, that it was a case of one person not wanting it to work, and I understand... I have to say that that's just, it, and I say it again, I'm not angry because he's, I think, done well for himself in Kansas City. I think that station's doing really well. And for that, because I have, like I said, no ill will toward him whatsoever. I'm happy for him in that sense. But to say that one person didn't want to make it work, which is, you know, me, is what he's saying, because it couldn't have been anybody else. That's just absolutely 100% inaccurate. And I feel like it's kind of like we're the two guys that played a role in it. And since we're talking, we'll throw the other guy under the bus. And it's just 100% inaccurate. I'm not angry about it. I'm kind of used to now at this point, people either writing or saying things about me that aren't true. This one just wasn't in the Post-Dispatch. But in this case, I had a contract, I think, that took me through the end of, that was January 2007. And I think the contract took me through the end of like September 2008. So why wouldn't I want to make that work? I'm there for the next 20 months, whether I like it or not, and you want to make it work, period. Because it's not like I was like, oh, well, if I sabotage this thing, then they'll hire the cat back and hire Martin back, or then they'll hire Doug. They never even talked with me about Doug. I went to that meeting where they told me they were firing you and hiring Fesco, planning on having a discussion with Jason about who we thought was the best third person, and me and you had both already discussed it, that it was Doug, and it was obvious. It wasn't even like a discussion. And so to portray it as it didn't work because I didn't want it to work is just flat out inaccurate. And 10 years later, if you had me and Bob Fesco do a show, it wouldn't work. And it's again, that's not because Bob's not good or because I'm not good or whatever it is. It's because we do two different styles of shows. Just like I said, you could put me and Bernie Miklas together. It wouldn't be a good show because Bernie does his thing and I do my thing. So... And that's the issue. If you are going to put a show together and you put people who have never met in a studio to then, especially when one of the hosts for certain is used to ad lib, improv, riffing, whatever you want to call it, doing a show, and then you've never met the person where chemistry is truly the foundation of if the show is going to work, you're setting yourself up for a high risk play that, of course, therefore has downside. And so that's the core issue. And even if they would have kept you and it would have been me, you, and Bob, it wouldn't have worked because what works with Martin is he's sick talented, and what works with Doug is he's sick talented, but in the quick, you know, dry humor kind of way. That's not Bob's style. Bob's certainly more into sports and reacting to sports, whereas, whether it be Charlie, whether it be Martin, whether it be Doug, whether it be Jennings, we're not going to get that worked up over what goes on in sports, and there is certainly a market for it, but it just wasn't a good pairing. He's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
Put in a bad spot.
And you wanted it because I remember we talked. I was probably picking out Backsplash for the new bathroom, mm-hmm. but I remember you saying, you know, you got no choice but to try to make it work.
Right.
And the way
that the show started was Bob was running point, and I was running, or was the number two on the show. And then a couple weeks in, it was clear it just wasn't working. I mean, it was clear it wasn't working. And I said to Jason, I said, you know, I think it might help if I run point and then you put Bob in the two. So I'm now taking on more responsibility. Not that it's like you're lifting more or anything like that, but I'm now taking on more responsibility. It's not like there's an increase in pay to do so because I'm trying to make it work. It's just, it's revisionist history. And I get it. Oftentimes, most people, if they make a mistake, they don't want to own up to it. And also some of the things that led to it, you know, that's not the way that it was laid out. I mean, I recall walking out of Jay Bucks and Clayton where we had the meeting where I was told you were getting let go and that Bob was being hired, that Jason said, if this doesn't work out, it's on me. I remember it was, you know, January 2nd or 3rd, and we're walking out. It's obviously freezing, and I'm going, yeah, well, I mean, because I, like, yeah, it's probably not going to work out because the audience loves the morning grind, and this is going to be, I didn't even think anything one way or the other about Bob because I didn't know him. I'm thinking the audience was hopeful that the show was going to get back to what it was when it was me, you, and Martin. And now somebody that none of us know is coming in and you're letting go Jim Hayes. I mean, this is going to be Armageddon with the audience. You can't do that. Don't mess with the show. But it's out of my control.
And that thing was doing really well ratings.
Yeah, it actually somehow registered in the ratings. Yeah. Well, I mean, the Cardinals were in the World Series in that October, and I think we got to number three with men 25-54, which I have no idea.
But midget wrestling.
Yeah, I guess when you look back on it, that was it. Guys, can Cat got a new kitchen upon exit. Is that true? That's from the 314, the Cat?
Oh, it was a bathroom.
No.
Yeah, it was a new
bidet.
Bathroom.
You remember that?
Which helped me to, no, I don't, that's for Euro trash, I think.
Although, whoa.
Although I think, I do think that that is an accoutrement that would help for a cleaner America.
Nicely done, sir.
Don't you think?
Good take.
Crocodile Dundee didn't know how to use the bidet, if you remember, from that movie.
I think we're just going to focus on the bomba today.
All right, I'm just saying.
Yeah, Charlie, that's kind of what got Fesco into trouble, is bringing in too many movie references.
I remember the zany intro. One guy is a tiger and the other guy is a Jayhawk. That's from Mark Muldoon.
That was the intro to your show?
I guess. I mean, it was only on for 5 months.
Was it called The Morning Grind Stuff?
Right, which is something I also said to Jason. I remember this, and I think this is actually quoted in the newspaper. I said, you can't, if two of the three hosts are no longer on it, you can't call it The Morning Grind. You can't. You're doing a disservice to that. And he said, I view the show like Nirvana, and you're Kurt Cobain. And I go, okay, you know.
The thing that put it over the top was that billboard you did where Fesco was holding a hand grenade, and you had a hank in. You were dabbing your forehead like, well, I don't know what this guy's going to say. No, he's going to pull the pin.
That was probably conversations with my attorneys.
Was that a real billboard?
We always
joked. Sounds like something that would happen.
We always joked about serious. How, like, that's your morning shock show type billboard.
So hold on, though. Does
one
that
guy
mean
pointing to the other guy, like, how can I get a load of him? Or
so Kat is Dave Grohl. Martin was, is it Chris Novoselic?
Novoselic. Is it Novoselic or Novoselic? Nurse?
No idea.
Nancy?
I always looked at Martin as Gloria Loring. Am I wrong?
Yeah, he did. Friends and lovers. Yeah. We can be both to each
Googling.
Other.
See, you're too young.
Every reference you have is from 1976. Who is it,
because
Gloria?
Because I'm a fossil.
Gloria Stefan, who is it? Gloria
Loring.
Loring.
She was on Days of Our Lives, if I'm not mistaken. Iggy, have you interviewed her? She seems like somebody might have stopped by.
Yeah, I have.
The greatest thing is that if I do a geezer reference, Iggy always texts me the phone number because he has interviewed every geezer reference that I make.
It's got to be so bizarre having people care so much about your job. I mean, Jesus, it's a fun radio show. It's from the Baldwin Bottom Feeder. It's a great thing to have people care about your job. It's a great thing. It absolutely is. The unfortunate part about it is, unfortunately, that one doesn't really bother me because I get it. I truly don't get what Dan Caesar was doing a few weeks ago and how he hasn't followed up to see if I've signed my contract. I legitimately, in all of my years of doing this stuff, that was one of the most fascinating columns to me and how and why that was written.
That's because he's not a good reporter. I'm sorry, it's true.
I truly have no idea what that was about. I get why Fesco and Jason Barrett are saying that, because that kind of was the narrative that I was the problem. But, you know, I mean, I've been in the market now 18 years. I'd like to think the track record speaks for itself. But, you know, why would I not want the show to succeed? That makes no sense. you know, it makes no sense. It just was disappointing the way that it was handled. But even if it would have been me, you, and Fesco, it wouldn't have worked.
And you know? I think Jason is a good guy, too. But to also say, well, Martin decided to leave, kind of leaves out a big part of the story.
Huge part of it. One of the greatest fight scenes since the Game of Thrones scene last night.
And he had a hand not only in making Martin want to leave in the way he handled it, but the truth was, you know, Martin and I at the time were working for our TV jobs who were footing the bill for us to be there. And then Jason got mad because we left when they changed the time of the early workout and we had to get across the city so we could serve the people that were paying.
This was the 2006 NLCS is what we're making reference to when the Cardinals were up in New York and they're out in Queens and our studio was on the west side of Manhattan. And of course, we're going in and out of the city at, you know, rush hour. So it's a, you know, quite a trip, and you guys aren't done with game one until you probably don't get out of Shea Stadium until 1 or 1:30 since the East Coast, you know.
Crazy, and the car came to get us. And,
Sorry, didn't mean that in a bad way. I just couldn't imagine someone caring enough about what I do so much that there's a podcast on it, like, leave me alone, bro. But that, I don't mind that. If anything, like I said, it's flattering. It's just I also want to be able to set the record straight. I don't want to do it with malice because, again, I get, like I said, Jason Barrett, I'll break. We'll get to the break. We'll be fine, baby. Trust me. You know, Jason Barrett and Bob Fesco, both fine guys. But, you know, if they're going to state something was one way, I have to and then portray that I was the reason it didn't work out. You know, that's just and I think deep down they know that's not the truth. But, you know, they're talking and it's easier to say that the guy that's not here is the reason because that's just not accurate. I remember that was going on back in 2007. I'm like, you're going to portray that I don't want this thing to work out? It's not like you guys, because you're bust. You don't have any money. So I know you can't hire Martin back, and I know you can't hire the cat back. So it's not like I'm under the impression that if I sabotage this, the morning grind will come back. Plus, Martin effing hates you, so he wouldn't come back. He doesn't need to do this. And the cat's in litigation with you. So I know that's not happening. So it's inaccurate, but it's convenient. And so I get it. That doesn't bother me. I still don't know what the hell goes on in media views on Fridays. I'm fascinated.
Oh, I know, because it's Don Caesar, and he's not a good reporter.
Real quick, though, I know you have to break. I did call Jason Barrett. His next podcast, Sowed, is on why Nick and the Badger didn't work. So check in.
Oh, my God.
Tune in for that one. I have a lot of...
Producer Joe?
Let me just say I'm going to throw a lot of people under the bus.
I think it's time.
Yep.
I think it's time.
7 years.
I think Wellington has it coming.
Mm-hmm.
Producer Joe.
Hannah Hercules.
Oh, they all have it coming.
Kevin, the non-gay.
Guys, I think the game changer for TMA is when you started at 1380 and started to do hour-long segments. That's from Mark Muldew. I don't know when we started doing hour-long segments. I think it might have happened. Because I feel like Buck Swope knows the answers to everything regarding the show. But when we knew we were leaving 590, when Dan Marshall... he had this great idea. It was this man-woman thing, and I think it worked. We were kind of like, all right, we got to play out this 120-day out, so we'll just let it be awful. And then let it be awful actually wound up working. But I felt like we were doing hour-long segments before that. I think we were. I don't know.
I remember I started sprinkling really bad jokes and never got away from that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. That's when it started. Would you go on Barrett's podcast, Tim? Absolutely. Absolutely, I would. Like I said, I don't have ill will. I mean, like I've said this before, if we're making fun of somebody on the show, it's kind of like you bust balls with like somebody. It's because you like them. If you don't talk about them, it's because you don't like them. So I truly like Jason. And Fesco and I exchanged messages a few years ago, but it's not like we talk regularly, but I don't have any ill will toward him. So, you know.
He's got Stevie and the Salamander on his next podcast.
So are they really? So it won't be me.
Well, this is season two, which you didn't hear on the beginning of that. I put it on the one for Friday. He started the podcast with people wondering where I've been. We're back for season two.
Oh, I didn't know that.
This is season two of the podcast.
Stevie and the Salamander.
Well, he's got to have an animal of some kind. Send your emails in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. The morning after. At InsideSTL.com, Vogel Heating and Cooling presents the 48th Annual Jack Buck Classic on Monday, August 14th, the award-winning St. Albans Country Club. That's where we'll be next week. The tournament benefits the CF Foundation, a cystic fibrosis foundation designed to aid CF patients in therapy and leading the charge into finding a cure. This event is near and dear to the Vogels as their youngest son has this horrible disease, but because of the CF Foundation, he's lived a fairly healthy and normal life. To buy tickets for the event, please visit gateway.cff.org. It's the Vogel Jack Buck Classic next Monday at St. Albans Country Club. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Ryan Kelly Morning After live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.